Can we say now, and I know that hindsight is much like Ricky Romero's ERA 2020, but can we say now that it was a mistake bringing Ricky Romero up?
Well, apparently, because he's, you know, pitched, what, 4 1/3 innings and been terrific for 3 of them and awful for an inning and a third of them. They shouldn't have done it. He should have stayed in Dunedin and continued to work on the things he needed to work on in his rebuild. And now he'll go down to Buffalo and still work on that stuff down there. But, yeah, it appears as though they made a mistake calling him up when they did. But that's, you know, that's hindsight. And I don't know. There's two schools of thought. One thing is that you commit to the rebuild when you try to do it and keep him down as long as he needs to be down. And the other school of thought is the same thing that they were telling us in spring training. They felt that things could click for Ricky at any time, and once they did, they thought he'd be fine. And if they did in Florida. And in that one start and all the stuff he did beforehand, the month of work before he got into a game, and they felt like, all right, well, we need a pitcher. Ricky gives us a better shot than Claudio Vargas or Ramon Ortiz or, you know, Dave Bush revisited. So why not see what he's got? And for those first 3 innings, it looked like it worked beautifully. And since then, it's all gone away.
What do you think the future holds for Ricky?
I have no idea. And I know that there are people who want everybody to say, well, that's it. They've ruined him. It's done. It's over. He's never going to be a success again. Nobody knows that. Nobody. So I would like to see this play out, see how long they leave him in Buffalo, see what kind of success he has down there. And then we'll see if he can ever make it back to his 2011 level, or if he winds up being more the guy he was in 2009 and 10, or if he is done. But he's a little young for that, I think.
Big start tonight. An interesting start, I should say. Not necessarily a big start, but an interesting start.
Historical start tonight.
Exactly. What is it, the third time two reigning Cy Young Award winners have faced each other?
Yeah, and only the second time in a game with teams in the same league playing
right,
each other.
Right. You're down in Tampa. Obviously, I know you've had a lot in your plate with the Jays, but you've also been around the Rays, and I know Dirk and I have talked about this. What's going on with David Price? Do people have any ideas down there? Are there any theories about what's going on with David Price?
They seem to be pretty excited about him right now. So I think that maybe they believe that the rough starts in the rearview mirror. Off the top of my head, I know he's had a couple of really good starts, but I don't know if it's the last two or like 2 of the last 3,
right,
and he's had a stinker in there too.
And it's early season stats, right? So they get skewed right out of the gate. So
absolutely. And that's, you know, it's all we've been talking about, it feels like, in the early part of the season.
Right.
How numbers can get messed up early. But nobody seems to be terribly worried about David Price.
What are you expecting from R.A. Dickey tonight? He has pretty good numbers, if I'm not mistaken, against the Rays. I think he pitched a couple of terrific games against the Rays last year. One in the Trop, didn't he?
He threw a one-hitter last year, yeah. I'm sure that was his only start. I think the Mets only played the Rays once last year.
Okay.
But, yeah, he threw a one-hitter in here, and he was sensational. And I think maybe the year before, he may have had a good start against them or something. I know he's pitched twice.
Mm-hmm.
But he likes pitching indoors. Most knuckleballers love pitching indoors where the elements don't change. You're not at the mercy of whatever way the wind is blowing. And, you know, hoping that it's blowing the right way for your knuckleball to get better as opposed to worse. So he's very comfortable. He's looking forward to it. And, you know, he and Price are good buddies. They've got the same agent, all that stuff. So we talked to him yesterday. He's really looking forward to it.
The one thing the Jays have already done, they've ensured they will not lose the series. The Rays had won 17 home series against the Rays going back to 2007. It was actually, I didn't realize this, the third longest road losing streak in AL history.
And that's over now.
It's over now. you know, I thought at the start of the year, Mike, that Tampa Bay would be a measuring stick for the Jays just because of the way they played. I mean, the whole thing, the way they played, and they've had the Jays number and Joe Maddon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If the Jays do win this game tonight and can come out of Tampa with a 3-1 record, and again, I know those are big ifs, but that has to leave them feeling pretty good going into Boston against a Red Sox team that has some issues in the bullpen right now.
Yeah, and a Red Sox team that has had a really rough time. What if they lost 5 of 6, I think. Now they're starting to come back down to earth. I agree with you. I kind of thought that this year, you know, in spring when all this optimism was happening, that this was going to be the year that they were going to start to win at the Rays, and that was going to show us something that this team hasn't done in the past. It's a new group, and they don't know about all the history, a lot of them. And I thought that, you know, we're done with this, can't beat the Rays. And so far that's happened. You know, they're 2-1 against them this year. They're not going to lose the first road series, and especially even coming in the way they did, 12-21. So I do think it's important, and I think it's a bit of a measuring stick. And I think it's great that they're guaranteed not to lose this series, and it would be even better if they won it. And, you know, that positive momentum, for whatever it's worth, going into Boston, I think is important, because Boston is going to be a bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. Even though the Red Sox aren't playing well, like you said off the top, this rotation that we were talking about so glowingly a month ago is now in shambles. Ricky Romero's been sent down. Jay Happ's on the disabled list. So's Josh Johnson. They're scrambling to find a starter for Friday because Brandon Morrow's having back problems, and they want to push him back to Saturday or Sunday. So we'll see what's going on there. We know that Mark Burley is going to be available to start Saturday, and it might be Ramon Ortiz on Friday for all we know.
Before I let you go, Mike, Brett Laurie put in the leadoff spot by John Gibbons. I know John wants to keep the lineup, wants to keep it as static as he can. What's your sense of where Brett is right now offensively?
I'm not loving it. You know, occasionally we'll see him take a walk, we'll see him shoot a ball to right field, but it really does seem like he's swinging out of his shoes and pretty much everything. You know that at the times when he does get ahead in a count, 3-1, there's no way he's taking that 3-1 pitch. You're going to see a big, huge swing. And he's not alone. We've seen that from a lot of guys. But when you're slumping the way Brett is right now, it's kind of impossible not to look at what he's doing and think, oh, there's all kinds of things wrong with this. But he's, you know, they've still won 3 of 4, and in 3 of those games he's been in the leadoff spot. Sunday he didn't play. So it's not really hurting them.
He's playing great defense.
Yeah, and that's for sure, but that has nothing to do with where he's hitting any order, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to come out of it. We saw how good he was as their leadoff man last year for those first the month and change where he hit about .294. And I think he can get to that again, but right now he's really in a trough.
Mike, I appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much, and safe travels to Boston.